Just a few more people, and then we're going to start. We're pleased to welcome today are actually some missionaries, some guest speakers. And so we want to welcome them with a warm Southside welcome. But just to introduce them, this is Jared and Cindy Hildebrandt. And maybe you know them and you've seen them before. I know that they went to Vanguard College, where I went to myself. And actually, Cindy is from Manitoba, where I grew up. And so we have some connection there, even though we've met for the first time today. But they are discipling students of the gospel in Thailand, on the other side of the world, and serving faithfully in the Southeast Asia region. They actually just got back from a whirlwind trip. They were at a conference, I believe, and they just a few days ago got off the planes. And so forgive them maybe if they're a little fuzzy. God is going to equip them and give them the power to preach. Amen. And so let's give them a warm welcome to Jaron and Cindy.
Thanks so much, Pastor Karsten. It's so great to be with you this morning. It was especially neat to see the Canadian flag on the screen, because I find that the longer we live outside of Canada, almost the more affection and that we have for our home country. So that was quite special this morning. Honored to be here, privileged to be here. 8 years ago, back in 2011, we stood on this very stage, had a chance to share with you about where God was leading us. You prayed for us, sent us out. A couple months later, 4 suitcases in hand, we got on a plane and traveled almost literally halfway around the world and settled in Thailand. Back then, we were looking to the future and were excited about the journey that God was leading us on. And I'd say today we still have that same level of anticipation and excitement. But we've also gotten a little bit older, hopefully a little bit wiser, added a few pounds, and have experienced the goodness and faithfulness of God in our lives. And I know many of you are nodding because you've experienced that same faithfulness of God over the past years and decades. I'm currently working on my master's degree, and one of my professors shared this illustration. Older couple living in a house. Every morning, you wake up, he comes down the stairs, sits at the table, she makes him his coffee and his eggs, and he looks out the window and he says, "Man, would you look at the neighbor's house? It's so dirty." Next morning, same thing. Wakes up, comes down, sits at the table, makes him his coffee. He's looking out the window. Would you look at the neighbor's kids? Man, it doesn't look like they ever have a shower. So dirty. Same thing. Next morning, comes downstairs, sits at the table, looks out the window. And look at the laundry on the line. It's absolutely filthy. Finally, she's tired of it. He goes to bed. She gets out the Windex, washes the windows, gives it a scrub. The next morning, he comes down and is amazed because everything that once was a bit dirty and a bit fuzzy is now clean. And so that's a little bit what I want to do this morning. Get out the Windex. See if we can't clean the window that you're looking through when you think about Thailand, when you think about Southeast Asia, when you think about the world and all the things that God is doing. And I like a little bit of audience participation, so I'm going to start with a little quiz. Now, there's no prizes for the winner or anything like that, but after each question, I'll give you a couple seconds to talk with the people around you, see what you think, all right? So, let's clean the window. Number one, Thailand is bordered by which 4 countries? Is it A, Myanmar, Laos, Singapore, Vietnam? B, Malaysia, Vietnam, China, Myanmar? C, Pakistan, Malaysia, Cambodia, Vietnam, or D, Myanmar, Laos, Malaysia, Cambodia? Any ideas? If you said A, you would be incorrect because the answer is D. Myanmar, Burma to the west, Laos to the north, Malaysia to the south, and Cambodia to the east. Number two, Thailand's national sport. Is it A, takraw? And you see a picture there on the far left of the takraw ball. Is it football, soccer? Is it C, Muay Thai, or D, basketball? A and B are both very popular in Thailand, but the national sport is Muay Thai, which is Thai-style kickboxing. Number three, most popular religion in Thailand, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Christianity. It is B. Thailand is about 90% Buddhist, another about 9% Muslim. Okay. Number four, Thailand is known as the land of milk and honey, the land of smiles, the home of the brave, the land of the amazed. It is the land of smiles. And if you ever have a chance to visit Thailand, you'll experience that right away. Thai people always seem to have a smile on their face, but it doesn't always mean they're happy. A smile can mean a whole number of different things in Thailand. And the longer you live there, the more you figure that out. Number five, Hat Yai, the city my wife and I and our kids live in, is famous for what? A, fried chicken. B, som tam, which is the papaya salad you see in the middle. Is it rice or is it seafood? Fried chicken. Kentucky's got nothing on us. Hat Yai fried chicken. It comes, it's on the far left there. It comes with these deep fried onions or shallots on top and a sweet chili sauce. It's delicious. Number six, the national language of Thailand is Taiwanese, Thai, Chinese, Chinese. It is Thai, yeah. And so if you're looking at the script and I see one of the characters didn't translate, the far left up there, that says Sawatdeekap and is how you say hello in Thai. Number seven, what percent, we're going a bit global, we're zooming out from Thailand here now, but what percent of the world's population lives in Asia? In Asia, 20, 40, 60, or 80%? 60% is absolutely correct. Yeah, I know most people, when you think about missions, maybe the first thing that you think about is Africa. And historically, our group of churches has sent a lot of workers to Africa. But I would say, given the statistics of how much percent of our population lives in Asia, maybe we ought to focus a little bit more in that direction. Number eight, what percent of the world's Christians live in Asia? And by this definition, I'm talking about Catholics and even some people that would be nominal. So kind of all in one group. What percent in Asia? 62, 22, 12, and 2%. 12%. So if we think over 4 billion people in Asia, less than around 12% Christian, and that would be even lower if you took out the Catholics. And number nine, what percent of the population in Thailand do you think would identify as evangelical? 10.2, 5.4, 3.2, 0.63. It's 0.63. Yeah, if you were listening to the numbers before, about 90% Buddhist, about 9% Muslim, and less than 1% Christian. And we can go to the next slide. I'll come back to that statistic in a moment. But here's my two kids, our two kids, I should say. Cindy did a lot more on that than I did. So on the left, you see Lucas. He's 6 years old, and he loves football, soccer. You can see there's a picture on the next slide here of him with his little soccer team. He is obsessed with animals. He can list all kind of animal facts that I don't even know. His favorite shirt has 9 different kinds of wildcats on it and something called an ocelot. I don't know what that is. But anyway, that's Lucas. Abby, she loves swimming. Her current favorite skill is she's learned how to whistle. Her big brother cannot. I can't even whistle that well, so she's very proud of that fact. And she even manages to, like, if I ask her to do something and she doesn't really want to, she'll, like, look at me and give this little whistle, defiant whistle. So those are our two kids. They're a bucket of fun. They definitely stand out in Thailand with their blonde hair. And so they're enjoying their first few days back here in Canada where they can fly under the radar a little bit more. How many of you know what a jackfruit is? There we go. That's a jackfruit, okay? Big fruit, quite common in Asia. And again, I'm not very much of a farmer. My wife grew up on a farm in Manitoba, but I'm from Edmonton. And I'm a city boy. So I didn't know, but jackfruit happened to grow on trees. The next slide. And here's a confession. In our city, we do have a McDonald's, and I don't eat there very often, but one day I just had a craving for those French fries. When they're extra hot, when they come right out of the deep fryer, I think they're absolutely perfect. So I went through the drive-thru, got myself some French fries, parked my truck in the shade under a tree, and while I was munching down on those yummy fries, all of a sudden, bang, jackfruit. They're heavy, like a watermelon. Fell out of the tree, landed on my windshield. So I don't know if that was God's way of telling me, you know, cut out the French fries. They're not good for you. Anyway, I'm a bit more careful when I park my truck in the shade. Shortly after we arrived in Thailand, 10 p.m. at night, we get a knock at our door. And it's my landlord, and she's got a bag of fresh shrimp. Now, again, I'm from Alberta, kind of landlocked, not super familiar with shrimp, other than the cocktail ring you buy at Costco. And these suckers still had all the heads and everything still on. So we didn't know quite what to do with them, but we kind of, buckled down, got into it. And so now shrimp is probably one of my favorite foods. And I know how to do all the heads and tails and all that stuff. So we are learning some things. Slow learner, but we do learn. My wife and I, our two kids, Lucas and Abby, have been serving in Thailand's deep south for the past 8 years. And so when you look at the cutout of the map of Thailand, people say it's kind of shaped like the head of an elephant. Okay, so you got the head there at the top. And if you come all the way down the trunk, just before you get to the Malaysian border, you find our city of Hat Yai. In the south of Thailand is a predominantly Muslim area. So when you take our city and then go to the south, you find a group of Muslim people. There are 3.5 million of them and maybe 300 Christians. I'll give you those stats again. That's 3.5 million. That's roughly the size of Alberta, right? And I'm not good with numbers, but I guess we have maybe about the same number here in the room today, less than 300 Christians. And so it's numbers like that that for my wife and I explain why we don't live in Canada. Everywhere you go in the world, you find people that don't know Jesus. Many of your family members and your friends and your neighbors haven't yet had a chance to meet Jesus. But at least in Canada, they probably know somebody who's a Christian. Maybe there's somebody they work with or a grandmother or... You know what I mean? They drive past a church on the way to work, and if they go a different way home, they probably pass by two more. But in our part of the world, it's quite likely that we are the only Christians that our friends and neighbors and students have a chance to meet. So a third of our city is made up of that Muslim people group I mentioned earlier. The other two-thirds are two different Buddhist people groups, again, also less than 1% Christian. Back when I was in Bible college, it's this idea of unreached peoples, not just people that don't know Jesus, but people that live in areas where there is no access to the good news. That's what grabbed my heart. And again, I said it already, that's why our family has chosen not to live in Canada, because there are people around the world, not just in Thailand, but in other countries as well, that need access to the good news. I want to show you a little video. I've got two videos this morning. The first one gives you a bit of a snapshot into what our life is like in the city of Hat Yai in southern Thailand. Take a look. Hat Yai really is a collision of cultures. There's three main people groups in Hat Yai. There are Thai Muslims, Thai Buddhists, and Chinese Thai, who are also Buddhists, but it's a different form. Hat Yai really is the economic and educational center of southern Thailand, and so when we decided we wanted to be in the south in an unreached area, Hat Yai made the most sense for us. But that, in a nutshell, describes why we live where we do, because there are people here that have never had a chance to meet a Christian, and so we position ourselves here so that they have a chance to do just that. We desire to share our faith out of relationship. I meet students in my classroom at the university. Each semester I have about 300 students that come through my classroom and have a chance to interact with a living, breathing follower of Christ, many of them probably for the first time. In the class, we offer a bunch of activities that say, hey, if you're interested at all in who we are
and you want to spend more time learning English, hanging out with foreigners, find out about what we believe, and just have a good time, well, then we have Friday Night Board Games. We do baking classes led by my wife a couple times a week. We have English Corner. We do volunteer service trips. We host teams from Canada or USA and then have Thai University students serve alongside visiting teams. All of this is designed to create safe relationships so that we have the opportunity to share and introduce other things like Alpha.
ผมรู้ว่าการที่เรามาอยู่ด้วยกันเนี่ยมันไม่ใช่แค่ว่าเพื่อความสนุกหรือเพื่ออะไรเราเหมือนกับพอเรามากันบ่อยๆเนี่ยทำให้เราสนิทกันแล้วก็แบบไม่ใช่แค่ว่าเรามาเพื่อเล่นบอร์ดเกมหรือเพื่อหาความสนุกอย่างเดียวเราสามารถปรึกษากันได้ด้วยนอกจากเรื่องหรือว่าเรื่องเล่นเกมอย่างเดียวเนี่ยเราสามารถปรึกษาเรื่องในชีวิตจริงของเราได้ด้วยคร
ับ เป็นพุทธมันสำหรับหนูก็คือเหมือนกับเป็นการเปิดใจในการรับฟังในการศึกษาเกี่ยวกับ Bible
Our dream for the students of Prince of Songkla University is to see them have the opportunity to decide to come to know Jesus. That's really what our heart is. That's what we want to see for this community.
So our focus in our city is on university students and future leaders. I teach English at Southern Thailand's largest university, and each week 300 students come through my classroom and have the opportunity to engage with a living, breathing follower of Christ, many of them for the first time. Through English conversation, through baking and cooking classes, through Friday night board games, through volunteer service trip, Christmas parties, Easter parties, we open our home and our hearts to students and allow them to see what Christians are really like. Everything we do is geared towards seeing students studying the Bible in small groups, obeying what they've learned, and then immediately sharing what they've learned with others. When you think about us, please think about people like Sue. She's a student on the left. She's a science major. Joined a baking class, and then a cooking class, then started coming to Friday night board games, and then ended up in an alpha class. Pray that she would fully understand the good news and choose to follow. Think about Tan. She's in the middle. She's an English major, recently found out her mom is HIV positive. And so as the only future income provider in her family, she feels tremendous pressure. Pray that she would discover that she doesn't have to just trust in herself and in her own abilities, but that she can trust in Jesus Christ. Guang is on the right. Think about her. She's a student who loves baking. And recently, we had a short-term team come, and she built relationships with some of these Canadian young people. And when they left, she said goodbye with tears in her eyes. Pray that she would that would inspire her to discover the source of the love that she saw in these Canadian young adults. Please, please pray for us and our students. We know that prayer makes a massive difference. In fact, in places around the world where people are coming to faith in large numbers, one of the key characteristics that they've identified is something they call extraordinary prayer. It means it's not enough that Cindy and I are praying for our students, but we need you to join with us and pray with us. And so I did bring a bunch of these prayer cards. I stuck them at the info desk. If you have a chance after the service, pick one up, slide in your Bible, put it on the side of your fridge. We would love for you to pray with us, and we know that it makes a massive difference. We've also seen some answers to prayer. When we first moved to Thailand, we did our language study in Bangkok and then moved south to the city of Hat Yai. This was 6 weeks after my son was born, and we moved to a city where we didn't know anyone, and there was definitely some challenging years. And so we've been praying for people to join us. Long story short, God heard our prayer, answered our prayer, probably in a way that I wasn't expecting. The photo on the left is a group of conservative Mennonite workers that were serving in another part of Thailand. We happened to get introduced to them through a mutual friend. We shared our heart with them around our kitchen table. They said, yeah, we'd love to come focus on the campus with you. And they have opened, you see it on the right, Sela English Center. In the future, it will be a coffee house as well. It's another place for people to connect with students and a place where students can come on their own time and feel safe and connect with Christians. Praise God. And that's not all. You saw her in the video, and here's her photo as well. She's a girl from northern Thailand, studied in the Bible College in Bangkok, and felt a call to come work in the south. Now, northern Thailand and southern Thailand are quite different, and so for her, choosing to work in the south is actually kind of a cross-cultural experience as well. When she first moved south, she found she couldn't even understand some of the language that students were speaking because of the different accent and dialect. Oh has been a tremendous help for our team and really has been a catalyst in us seeing three Bible study groups, alpha groups, launch over the past 18 months. I think sometimes as believers, myself included, I think we're hesitant to share about Christ with our friends and neighbors. But in the last few months, God has really been reminding us that He is drawing people to Himself. He is drawing Thai students to Himself. They're longing to hear about Him, and we just need to take that little step of obedience and open our mouths and say something. 12 students that didn't know anything other than Jesus was a name that Christians talked about sometimes have now been studying the Bible for the last 12 weeks. They've discovered the foundations of the Christian faith, and most importantly, have had a chance to get to know Jesus through those acting as His hands and feet here on the earth. Why do we teach English? Why do we build relationships and all these baking classes and stuff? Well, it's because we think that Sue and Tan and Guang deserve a chance to hear about Christ. Romans 10, 14 to 15 says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent?" Thanks so much for sending us. We're so grateful to be part of the missions family here at Southside. And so when you support missions at this church, it's people like Sue and Tan and Guang who really benefit. I've shared a lot so far about what's going on in our city where we live, but I also have the tremendous privilege and opportunity to help lead a foundation called Imagine Thailand that is making a difference in other parts of the country as well. And so I want you to see just a snapshot of what's going on around the country as well. Take a look.
We believe in the potential of what is not seen. You know, every building, every material thing that we see around us is all built by somebody first in imagination. Everything is created twice, first in the mind and then with hands. And that's what we do with a nation. You begin to imagine this nation with a divine perspective, and then you begin to shape your life according to it. And that's really what we want to do. By building a bridge into communities of need, we provide clean water, we provide educational resources, we provide learning centers, we provide leadership training. These are all ways that we begin to provide resources to communities so that they can improve their own life.
So something as simple as a cup of water has allowed us to not just give physical life on the lips of a child, but has then opened the door of opportunity to introduce him to something that's far more life-giving than even a cup of water. We have the opportunity to introduce him to spiritual life too.
One girl that is symbolic of what we do is a girl who came on her very first ever trip to the south of the country. University student, wanted to be involved, wanted to make a difference in the country. that deeply impacted her life. It was a beginning for her of a journey where she not only discovered more about herself, but began to discover God, began to discover a purpose for her life and a destiny. And she's now making a difference in other people's lives and other communities, and she's beginning to orientate her life and fashion her life so that it will be a life of service.
Every time I see students, I can see potential of me in them. They probably think like me, and I think it's a great opportunity to share that I wasn't a Christian. I was like you guys, but now I am a Christian, and you can be a part of our family too.
They tell us what's important to them, and then we try to meet that need. So the things that we do, while they may not always seem connected, they are things that the community has identified as being valuable and that we feel that we can contribute to, and hoping and believing that that would give us the permission to not only demonstrate about the love of Christ, but to speak about it.
I really feel like we've been given an opportunity to lay another plank on the bridge, that one day we might be able to see something transformative happen in not just an individual's life, but again, in a university student's life, in a child's life, in a migrant worker's life, that they might be changed, that their community might be changed, that their nation might be changed, and ultimately that this world might look like a different place because people are committed to building bridges into people's lives.
So imagine Thailand works to build strong communities in many different ways. And it looks different in each of the four areas in Thailand where Imagine's involved, because we allow the community to set the agenda for how we engage. We kind of avoid cookie-cutter solutions, and then in dialogue with community leaders, ask them what they need, and then see how we can fit. So for example, on the northwest border with Myanmar, there are a number of migrant schools where the biggest need was a lack of clean water. And so over the past 8 years, Imagine Thailand's been able to install over 60 clean water systems, and now over 25,000 people have access to clean water because of the work of Imagine Thailand, and it's something I'm so proud of. There's a line in that video that said, we're given the opportunity not only to demonstrate about the love of Christ, but then to speak about it. And we've seen a lot of fruit coming out of stuff like that, where we demonstrate, we show the love of Christ first, and then we earn the right to speak about it. A few years ago, we were sharing at a church in Winnipeg, and someone came up to us after the service and said to Cindy and I, you guys are so brave living on the other side of the world. And I appreciated what she was getting at, but I said, like, I don't feel especially brave. I would say Cindy and I know that we're not special. I mean, sure, we have our own unique abilities and giftings, but we're not remarkable. I would say we're just ordinary, normal followers of Jesus who are trying to be obedient to the things that Jesus said all of us ought to be doing. In many ways, what we do in Thailand is no different than what each of us is called to do no matter where we live. We live our lives alongside people who don't know Jesus on purpose. I pause there for a second because I think statistics show that often the longer somebody walks with Jesus and is a Christian, at least in the North American sense, the fewer non-Christians they spend time with. And if you're sitting there this morning and you can't really think of a real friendship that you have with somebody who doesn't yet know Jesus, I'd like to challenge you on that, because Jesus didn't spend all his time hanging out in the church. He spent time with sinners, with tax collectors, and all of that. When we were sharing a few days ago, we were down in Sylvan Lake sharing at a seniors camp there, and a lady came up to me and shared basically exactly what I'm trying to get at here. She talked about how her and her husband had sold their house, moved to their cabin on the camp at Sylvan Lake. But she said, we didn't want to be stuck in a Christian bubble, so she joined the seniors group in Sylvan Lake Town. and spends a bunch of time hanging out with seniors that don't know Jesus. That's exactly the kind of thing I'm talking about. Don't spend all your time inside the church interacting only with people that know Jesus, but make sure you've got some real relationships in your life, people you work with, people you play sports with, or on a team with, or whatever it might be. But make sure you have those relationships in your life. And so we do that as well in Thailand. We build genuine relationships with people and then look for open doors to share good news. So we've got big dreams for the city of Hat Yai. Our crazy dream, I know it's crazy, we want to see 25% of our campus, it's 20,000 students, 25%, 5,000 students, we want to see them in small groups that study the Bible. It's a crazy dream, but it's something we're praying for and believing for because we know that God's heart is to be in relationship with these students. And so now we're taking what we feel are the right steps to see that dream, that picture that we've imagined become a reality. And so I guess my challenge for you this morning, as individuals and as a community of believers, is to begin to look at the world around you a little bit differently. How have you thought about your role in mission? The Great Commission passage that we're quite familiar with, Matthew 28, says, go and make disciples. This applies to all of us. Not just people who live overseas or not just pastors. It's all of us. Notice it doesn't say, go and invite people to church so Pastor Doug can make disciples, right? Or it doesn't say, if you feel a special call in your heart to go overseas, then make disciples. It's all of us. And so if we're going to be obedient to the red letter command of Jesus to make disciples, it's not really if we're going to do it or not. What each of us needs to figure out is how we're going to be obedient to that command. God has placed each of you in the middle of a unique set of relationships, friends, family, people you work with. And part of going, right, is taking the good news to these relationship networks that only you have access to, whether that be here or around the world, and then allowing God to use you to make disciples in those spaces. You might be sitting there thinking, well, I've never done something like that. I don't think God could use me in that way. Well, I could give you a bunch of examples throughout Scripture of people who felt the same way, and then God used them anyways. But I would say the best part about all of this is that we don't have to do it alone. In Acts 1, Jesus is talking to his followers. He tells them to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit shows up. You see, it is through the power of the Spirit, not through our own power or ability. It's through the power of the Spirit that we're able to be witnesses for Jesus in Jerusalem, in Judea, and around the world. Right, where we live, where we work, with our families. We are not alone. God, through his Spirit, walks with us every step of the way. He's done that with many of you over the years. He does that with Cindy and I and our children in southern Thailand. And I'm so glad that he does. So I guess my final challenge to you this morning would be this. Find out what God is doing in your neighborhood, and do it. Find out what God is saying, and be obedient, and say it. Find out where God is going, and go there with him. Find out who God loves, and love them too. And find out what breaks the heart of God, and then let it break your heart, and then let it motivate you to action. For our neighbors, and to the world. Let me pray with you this morning. Father God, thank you for your Spirit. Thank you that you walk with us every step of the way, and that even though some of the commands that we read in Scripture seem a bit challenging and daunting, that we don't have to do it alone. God, I pray for each and every person in the room today. You have placed them uniquely in a set of relationships, and I pray that you would use them and empower them mightily to make a difference for your kingdom among their relationship networks. I pray that they would be empowered to speak words of life, and they would speak them boldly to the people they rub shoulders with every day. I pray all of this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.